Praise God, my dear brother and sister, and I'm so glad, so excited to be here today again, and I give honor to our God that He allowed us to be His children and to be here like His church, and also I give honor to pastor and leadership that allowed us to be here, and may God bless you all. You know that we are a missionary in Kyiv, in Ukraine. And pastor told us to witness something. And Jesus told to all of us that we like church, we are His witness in this world. Not only missionary, not only pastor, but every one of us, we are His light, His witnesses, and we are also like all, we are in missionary. We are missionary in our family, in our neighbors, our co-workers, our cities, our nations, and somebody choose to go to out this country, but we all together like one body, one church, and we are His witnesses. And Jesus told us, He told before to His disciples, Mark chapter 16, verses 15 and 16, He told, go and preach the gospel. And He told to preach to every nations. And he that believed and baptized shall be saved. But he that believed not shall be damned. It depends for us today. People, they're waiting us. Because Jesus told to us, go and preach the gospel, and they will hear gospel when we tell them about this, and some of them they believed, some of not. Also Jesus told to us the before he told to the disciples, but this is also for us, like his body, his church. Acts chapter 1 verse 8, he told that we receive power when we received when the Holy Ghost came upon us. And what else? We will be His witness. Does somebody receive Holy Ghost here? One, two, three people. Let's pray for Holy Ghost today. If you received Holy Ghost, you have a power. You will receive power when the Holy Ghost came upon you. And now, we have to go and to witness. And they will come here. And we do this also for Russian people outside America. Because he paid for us. He came in this world to witness, to find, to save us. And he paid price for us. And he bought us. Not like slavers. Because the people before, they bought some people to be their slavers. But he bought us to make us freedom. But we understand, I want to be his slaver, to follow him. And this is honor for us to be his witnesses. And I do not preach, but this is, I tell you what is my life. This is my life always. If I see people, I want to pray for them. I'm thinking, they know about Christ or not. I want to use any opportunity to start to talk with them. Doesn't matter who they are. Maybe they are different religions or not. But we know that Jesus loved them. And he didn't judge us. And he do not judge this people, this world. Because he came to not judge them, but to save. Sometimes we judge people because they not believe like we are believe. But Jesus do not judge them, and he loved them. And when I see some people homeless or another people or broken people or angry people, robbers, murderers, or another people, that my flesh want to judge them. But the Spirit says, who will help them? This world judge them. This world against them. This world do not love them. But Jesus on the cross, he died for them. And the Spirit says, if you do not help them, who will help them? Jesus told that you are the light. Because before he told, I'm the light. I'm a way. I'm a truth. And he told, come to me, all people. And we know that people found everything when they came to him, when he was in this world. They didn't know who is Jesus. But they knew that he has something that what I need. Jesus the same, brother, sister. Million people, they are lost in this time. But Jesus today in our life, in his church, if he dedicated his life for me, why I do not dedicate my life to him? It is an honor for us to be his children. And we understand this. We all have hope, joy, peace. We have future. We have eternal life. We know that he is our rock, our healer. We know that he is our water when we are thirsty. He is our bread when we are hungry. We know that he is our healer when we are wounded or sick. We know that in our life, at a big storm, he calmed any storm in our life. And I can continue this, but we know about this. And we can worship him. And we can come and this altar and to say here, God, I need you. You are my Father. You are my Savior. You are my healer. I bring my need, my family, my kids to you. I believe, I proclaim your name, and we accept, we receive. Yes. Because we believers. Right. Right. But how many people today, they have this? And Jesus tried to find somebody else, and he found us. And may God bless you, because he told us to bless each other. And I tried to finish, Pastor. Sorry about this. I know you will preach. But Jesus had a dream to build church. He has a reason to go to preach gospel on the world. Our need, they not finish. They will finish when we'll go to heaven. But this is not a goal. This is not our purpose to believe God, because he will solve only our need. We become elders, or elders, and our physical, they step by step go down. But I want to be always like young, but this is not possible. I want to be healthy when I was eight, when I will be 99 years old, but I don't know. But what I want to know his will. I want to do something. I want to follow him. I want to give my life in his hand to say, my life is your life, not my will, but your will. And what I have, this is yours, not mine. If you need something, do not ask me. This is yours. And I want to be sure that he know about this, and I know about this. I try to finish. I want to say thank you so much for your love, for your prayer, and for your support. And God opened a lot of doors in Ukraine right now. New preaching point, new groups, new church. And also another door got open, and really we need his wisdom, his strength, his power, and a lot of enemies on the dead way. But we believe that we have a power, not in our enemies. And your help, your prayer, your love also follow with us. And we are not alone there. We know that we have brothers and sisters and people. Thank you, Pastor. May God bless you. And I proclaim his name in your life, his will in your life, his blessings in your life, his healing in your life, your family, your children. And let his name will be upon you and your family for 1,000 generations. In Jesus' name, amen.
Why don't we stand right now and just lift up our voice, receive what's been spoken into this room. In the name of Jesus, Father, open my spirit to you to receive your word right now. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. You can be seated. Brother Kendrick, I'm going to be going to Luke chapter 12. Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hold that right there for a second. A few days ago, I think it was Monday, the Lord, in a very unique way, dropped a thought into my spirit. It was a phrase, and when it came to me, I don't know, maybe everyone here is probably a little bit different, but every now and then you're just, sometimes you can be in a completely different mindset, and I understand, you know, we're supposed to keep our mind on Jesus and all that. But I was listening to some music. I was listening to some gospel music, and I think I was actually flying. I was either flying or walking through the airport. I don't remember which. When the Lord just out of nowhere dropped this phrase into my spirit, to whom much is given, much is required. Now, I knew that was in the scripture somewhere, but I didn't know where, and it was a couple hours before I could sit down and do a search, and I found it. And as I begin to mull that over and just think about that, those were the words of Jesus, by the way. We're going to read them in just a few minutes in Luke chapter 12. But as I begin to mull those things over, those words over, to whom much is given, much is required. And I begin to think about that in application to my life as a whole. Now, you know, we like to think about that in regards to maybe finances as a whole. You know, that's just to whom much is given, much is required. Money to money. But it encompasses every single aspect of our life. I want to start reading in Luke chapter 12, and I think somewhere around verse 22. And I'm going to read it in the New Living Translation. Verse 22 says, "Then turning to his disciples, Jesus said, 'That is why I tell you, not to worry about everyday life, whether you have enough food to eat or enough clothes to wear. For life is more than food and your body more than clothing. Look at the ravens. They don't plant or harvest or store food in barns, for God feeds them, and you are more valuable to him than any birds. Can all your worries add a single moment to your life? And if worry can't accomplish a little thing like that, what's the use of worrying over the bigger things? Look at the lilies, how they grow. They don't work or make their clothing. Yet Solomon in all his glory was not dressed as beautifully as they are. And if God cares so wonderfully for flowers that they are here today and thrown into the fire tomorrow, he will certainly care for you. Why do you have so little faith? And don't be concerned about what to eat and what to drink. Don't worry about such things. These things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers all over the world, but your Father already knows your needs. Seek the kingdom of God above all else, and he will give you everything you need. So don't be afraid, little flock, for it gives your Father great happiness to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give to those in need. This will store up treasures for you in heaven. And the purses of heaven never get old or develop holes. Your treasure will be safe. No thief can steal it, and no moth can destroy it. Wherever your treasure is, there the desires of your heart will also be." Verse 35 says, "Be dressed for service and keep your lamps burning, as though you were waiting for your master to return from the wedding feast. Then you will be ready to open the door and let him in the moment he arrives and knocks. The servants who are ready and waiting for his return will be rewarded. I tell you the truth, he himself will seat them, put on an apron and serve them as they sit and eat. He may come in the middle of the night or just before dawn, but whenever he comes, he will reward the servants who are ready." Understand this. If a homeowner knew exactly when a burglar was coming, he would not permit his house to be broken into. You also must be ready all the time, for the Son of Man will come when least expected. Peter asked, "Lord, is that illustration just for us or for everyone?" And the Lord replied, "A faithful, sensible servant is one to whom the master can give the responsibility," everybody say responsibility, "of managing his other household servants and feeding them." I want to read that again. A faithful, sensible servant is one to whom the master can give the responsibility of managing his other household servants and feeding them. If the master returns in verse 43 and finds that the servant has done a good job, there will be a reward. I tell you the truth, the master will put that servant in charge of all he owns. But what if the servant thinks, my master won't be back for a while? And he begins beating the other servants, partying and getting drunk. The master will return unannounced and unexpected, and he will cut the servant in pieces and banish him with the unfaithful. Wow, that's cruel. Really? I thought you were a loving God. I thought you cared about us. I thought you were concerned about every need. You just said at the beginning of the chapter, take no thought what you shall eat. He knows all your needs. If he can clothe the lilies of the field, why can't he clothe you? And now you're saying if someone doesn't do what you expect them to do, really, God has expectations of you. Have you asked him about that? Do you check in with him often? Lord, am I doing what you've asked me to do? Am I acting in the way that you've asked me to act? Am I doing the things that you've asked me to do? Am I participating in the things that you'd like me to be participating in? Or am I participating in things that aren't your will at all? You got to ask yourself these things because it becomes so easy to get involved in things. I've told you from time to time that one of my favorite things to do is spend $2 on a shoe shine over in Tacoma at the Nordstrom. If I'm anywhere near there and I've got my dress shoes on, I go in there. It's the best $2 you will ever spend, mainly because of the conversation with the guy who shines your shoes. There's a couple of guys in there. One guy's name's Kenny, and the other guy's name, I can't remember right off the top of my head, but that guy. He's my age, maybe a little bit younger. Loves to talk, and he runs the Republican Party chair for Pierce County, and so he's in the know on everything. And he'll talk to you politics. He'll talk this. He'll talk that. And the other day I was in there. I think it was two Sunday nights ago, and my family and I had gone to dinner in Tacoma, and so I knew it was going to be a wait at the restaurant. I said, I'm going to drop you here, and I'm going to go get my shoe shine, and I'm going to come back. I'll meet you guys at the restaurant. And when we got done talking, we were in this conversation, and he looks at me, and he goes, I need your phone number. I thought, oh, boy, we're going somewhere now. He goes, I need your involvement in politics. And I said, and you lost me right there. You got to know what you belong in, what you belong participating in. Know where you're at. I volunteered. I don't know why, but I volunteered to coach my son's T-ball team this year. Dedicated 8 weeks, two nights a week to a group of young boys that were 4 years old. Some of them were, a couple of them were 3 years old. But I dedicated a considerable time to that. What's that? 8 weeks, twice, 16 nights that I spent with these young men. 4 years old. And God, I tell you, this is when you know that God has put you into something, that he's opened a door into something. It was in those moments, from the first night we got there, you just never know. You show up as a coach, you don't know what's going to be there. You don't know what you're going to deal with, what kind of families you're going to deal with. They had, this is out in Ording. This is out in the sticks, folks. They disbanded teams because parents were fighting. Parents were fighting over peewee T-ball games, angry at the coaches, hated each other, screamed and yelled at each other, and fought to the point where they just disbanded teams and said, the director said, you're no longer a team. And so I'm going into this thinking, Lord, have mercy. I'm supposed to be a man of God. How am I supposed to keep a good attitude in a game where there's no outs, there's no score? This is easy, right? No umps. But God brought a group of families together, young families. There wasn't a family. I think there was maybe one set of parents that were way older than Kaylee and myself. They were probably 15, 20 years older than us, and they had some foster kids. They had given themselves, opened their home up to some foster kids, and they had some kids in their home, and those kids were on our team. But the rest of those families were our age and younger, and we couldn't get away from them every single night. The last night that we were there, I said, we need your phone number. We want to stay connected to you guys. You guys have made such an impact on our lives. I'm talking about knowing where you belong. You know how many things are vying for our attention and vying for our participation? Know what it is that God wants you to be involved in, and it may be for a season. I don't know that I'll ever do this again. I don't know. If you got questions, you want to know more about that, you should listen to the Wednesday night session. Go back and find it where Brother Kendrick talked about his homeowners association. Know your season. Know when God's got you involved in something. And when he says, nope, that's over. Thank you for your service. Wait, but I'm not done yet. No, I am. And so are you if we're together in a team in this. So what am I supposed to be involved in? Verse 47. And a servant who knows what the master wants but isn't prepared and doesn't carry out those instructions will be severely punished. But someone who does not know and then does something wrong will be punished only lightly. Now, every parent here knows in the process of raising kids, something new pops up every day, right? Kids don't know everything. They're looking to you to teach them. And so you're going through life, you're humming along, and all of a sudden, you know, one day you find your kid with a pen writing on the wall, and you're like, ah, you can't do that! Ah, I'm never going to get a touch of paint. But I never told them you couldn't write on the wall with a pen, right? I just assumed they knew that at 2.5. You know, all those things that parents assume. Your kid knows not to write on the wall with a pen, right? You give him a pen, you're like, here's a pen, 2-year-old. Have a good time. And he goes, wow, this blank canvas. Let's go to town. And then I get angry as a parent and I discipline him. You can't write on the wall. And he's like, really? But you gave me a pen and a blank canvas. Right? That's common sense parenting. Oh, whoa, whoa, whoa. No. Okay, thanks. I appreciate your designs. That's great. We don't do this. This is against the rules. Crayons and pencils and pen are for paper. Right? Yes, yes. Now, if you do that again, I know it's 2019, but you're probably going to get a spanking. Everybody over 50 is like, what? Everybody under 50 is like, he just said that out loud. Hey, it's in the Bible. I'm just going to assume that what I'm feeling right now is coming from out there, okay? We're just going to move on. But I can't, you understand what I'm saying? This is a process. I can't get my kid in trouble for something they don't know is wrong yet. And so God doesn't deal that way with me, Brother Pacheco. He doesn't say, oh, you just failed. You're a loser. You're no good. I'm going to discipline you. And he goes, no, hold on. I haven't had a conversation about that yet. I really don't want you doing that. I'd really prefer that you not. He says that that servant will be punished less severe. When someone has been given much, much will be required in return. And when someone has been entrusted with much, even more will be required. Now, because these are Jesus' words, he's giving us everything that he says in his word. He gives us insight into him, his mind. He gives us insight into how he feels. That's why he told these stories, these parables. He was giving us insight into his thinking, how he thought. This is my expectation. Each of you parents communicate differently to your children in their development process. You are instilling in them your expectations. Yeah, I know so-and-so does this, but in our house, we don't do that. Yeah, I know that that looks acceptable in the world today, but in our home, we don't do that. Right? You set the expectation. And so Jesus, throughout his word, especially in the Gospels, or in the Gospels, throughout the four Gospels, you read a lot about him, his communication. You're reading his voice, what he said. And he says, to whom much is given, much is required. Now, this is difficult for us. And hopefully through this today, we can somehow, some way begin to find some peace concerning some things that we've had to deal with and go through in life. Because as we grow in the grace and the knowledge of him, and I apologize for making all these analogies to our children today, but this is how Jesus talked. We're the children of God, right? We're his little children. That's what he called us. He used children to communicate his understanding. He's our father. Brother Kendrick started off there by saying he's our father. He's our heavenly father. And so in the process of time, as our children grow older, we have different expectations of them. So in the same way that I tried not to get upset or to discipline my child that first time they grabbed a crayon and wrote on the wall, after the expectation's been set, and I've said it a few times and reminded them every time I hand them a crayon from that day forward, hey, here's a crayon, I want you to color, but not on the walls. And as they get older and they remember that and it becomes a part of the repertoire and they understand it, the expectation from me is when I hand you a crayon, you're not going to write on the wall. In much the same way as we develop and we progress in our relationship with God, there are just some things that he gives us that once he's given them to us, Let's talk about revelation for a few moments. There, and I'll use myself as an example here, and maybe this applies to you, and maybe you can identify with this. But there are certain things, Brother Heiner, that God has shown me in Scripture that I don't understand why. I don't know why God chose me out of every individual in my family, in my lineage, in my heritage, that God chose me to sit in some of the meetings that some of you have sat in and to receive revelation that a lot of us have received. I don't know why he did that. But in the receiving of that understanding and the receiving of that revelation, there became a responsibility with it. There came a responsibility along with it. What are you going to do with this? I'm going to put this in you. I'm going to pour this into your spirit. I'm going to put this into your understanding, but now the responsibility lies with you. Are you going to receive this, or will you push it aside? You see, it's difficult. What's the scripture says something about? When once the ignorance of God winked at their ignorance, but now he commandeth all men everywhere to repent. You remember that scripture? This idea that at some point along the way, God knew I didn't know. It was okay. I didn't know. No one had showed me that. He had chosen not to reveal it to me. You know, he doesn't always need a vessel. He knocked Saul down on the road himself. Saul knew who it was. He didn't send a messenger to Saul. He said, "Pew, you're done." There are things that God has brought to me in personal study time. There are things that he's shown me in personal study time that I didn't get from somebody else, but he showed it to me, and then I became responsible for it with regard to whether or not I live in it, walk in it. So this idea that to whom much is given, much is required. As I begin to think about this, there were several things over the next few hours that just begin to flow into my mind. I thought about Samson. I didn't go back and read it, but I began to think about the story of his life and how his mother received communication, instruction from the Lord. Listen, this one, no hair or no scissor or razor ever comes to his head. There's something special about this one. This one here is not to get drunk. This one here is, there's my hands on this one. And there was much required of him only because there was much given him. There had been much imparted to him. I thought about our brother Saul, who was later Paul. And we read throughout the epistles and we read all the magnificent writings, but you only dig into the surface a little ways and we see how great God used him and we set him up on a pedestal and we think, oh, Brother Paul, how great, how great, how great. Then you get below the surface and you begin to dig into the Word of God and you read about the shipwrecks, the beatings, the imprisonment, and all the things that he went through and wonder, why? Well, that's not fair. Why would God make him go through all that? And I've heard people say things like, well, you know, he did a lot to the church before, and that was God paying. Well, whatever you want to believe. But what I do see from a principle in the Word of God is that to whom much is given, much is required. When I look at my own life and things that God has asked me to go through, things that God's asked me personally to endure, I have to look back, and sometimes it becomes a little bit easier when I think about it from the perspective that to whom much is given, much is required. It just doesn't hand it out for free. Oh, great, you want great anointing? Great, here you go. I'm just giving it away. Everybody getting some. Oh, you want authority in the Holy Ghost? Here you go. It's free. Here. Oh, you want a great understanding of my word and you want a great knowledge of my word and you want revelation to flow through your ministry? Oh, of course. Here, it's free. Just here, you can have it. No cost. That's not how he works, right? To whom much is given, the more he gives you, the more he requires of you. Now, if he's given you little, then there's only little required. There's only little expectation. He said it himself. If the servant doesn't know what to do, then I don't punish that servant severely. But if the servant is aware and knows, there's a different expectation. Now, when it comes to the subject of finances, it's much the same. To whom much is given, much is required. To whom much has been entrusted, even more will be required. You see, this idea of God, you know, we talk about, we sing about today, us trusting the Lord. And Brother Martin, a few weeks ago, he quoted the scripture, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, lean not unto thy understanding. We talked about that, and trusting in God and how difficult of mountain that is to overcome, of trusting God, moving beyond a place of trust, of faith to a place of trust, and trusting him. I trust you. But then this verse kind of spins it back and talks about the Lord trusting us. I want you to think about that for a moment. What can God trust you with? Early on in chapter 12, we didn't read it. I jumped way ahead because I didn't want to take a bunch of time. But early on, he talks about don't be somebody who's just out for what you can get. Don't let all your decisions be made by what you can acquire personally. He says that stuff is of no value, zero value, no value in it.
But what can he trust you with? I'm not just talking about finances here. I'm talking about across the board. What can he trust you with? If he gives you, let me ask you a question. If he was to give you your heart's desire today, whatever it is, let's be carnal for a minute. Whatever you want. Lord, my heart's desire is to have A, B, C, or D. Can he trust you with that? Lord, if I just had this, I would be happy. Everything would be fine. Can he trust you with that? See, only he knows that. I'm talking for me. I'm standing here today proud. Oh, yes, Lord, but by all means, look at this. You trust this? You know, firm handshake, big smile, dress night, trust me to the bank. And God says, I know what's on the inside. I can't trust that. I'm sorry. Man may trust it. Man may believe in that, but I can't. Have you ever witnessed that? Scripture says, Scripture makes a statement that beware when all men speak well of thee. I find people who that people lift them up and praise them. I sit in situations at times where people are just praising. This is the greatest guy ever. That's guy, he's just this and he's that. And there have been times that I've had to speak up and say, I don't agree. Where's your perspective coming from? Well, I don't have a good feeling about it. Well, you need to dive deeper into that. Well, if you want me to, I can. Or you can just trust me. Scripture says that man looks on the outer. God looks on the inward. And what he sees on the inward determines what he can trust us with. And so if God trusts me enough, and this is how I look at my life and how you ought to look at your life, whatever you have today, and I look across you, I look at every face and I see the blessings of God represented on each person. It's amazing to me to see what God has done and what God has brought us through, where he's brought us to. Maybe some of you identify with this, some of you don't, but I was raised in a church in the early days of Pentecost, in the 80s of Pentecost. We were still coming out of the early days of Pentecost. I mean, we were only, 40, 50 years removed from the separation, the UPCI formation and all that. And so Pentecost was still, it was still new and Pentecostals were still weird and you crazy holy rollers, you handle snakes and squirrels and all that stuff, And I'm not saying we went through anything like our forefathers did where people's heads were beaten in with bricks because they believed in the oneness of God. I'm not talking about that. That was a generation or two before me, a generation before my parents. That stuff was real. And we lived on the backside of the tracks. Church was on the wrong side of the tracks. Churches met in old, stinky buildings and things that were cheap rent because nobody had anything. And I look across here today, and here we are. I'm 30 years removed from that life. And I see where God has brought his people to. And it's not lost on me when I see each of you. God trusts you with what he's given you. He does. He trusts you, Ben. The things that he's done through you and in you and where he's taken you and the people he's put you in front of and the things he's allowed you, he trusts you with that. Because if he doesn't trust you, God just doesn't give it because, see, in our humanity, we want to be fair. Well, if I give you a cookie, then I got to give her a cookie, right? That's fair. Can't be giving you a cookie without giving her a cookie today. to be fair. God says, no. I'll give you a cookie because I can trust you with a cookie. Her, I can't trust her with a cookie. I'm sorry. That's I should be talking about me. God knows he can't trust me with a cookie. I'll eat that thing. Those Father's Day cookies sat on our counter all night last night. The Lord gave me great grace that they made it here today. He knows what he can trust me with. And so I look across here and I see him trusting people with things. I say things. He's trusting with anointing. He's trusted you with revelation. He's trusted you with understanding. He's trusted you with finances. He's trusted you with homes. And he's trusted you with investments. He's trusted each of us with different things. And we've come to a place in our relationship with him where he says, yes, I can now entrust this to you. But with the entrustment comes an expectation or a requirement. I'm closing and wrapping up. Brother Kendrick and I've mentioned this several times. See, the Lord's used him to minister to me. Some of you have been here on Wednesday nights when he's talked about his job and things that he's had to go through and different difficulties. First of all, I want to say I'm thankful for the men of God that God has placed in the body of Christ. And if you ever check out or say, well, it's not the bishop on Wednesday night, so I think I'll just stay home. I'm not saying anybody here does, but if you have that thought ever comes into your mind, the Lord uses whomsoever he will to minister to individuals. And if I come ready and willing and open to receive, sometimes he just catches me off guard and he's like, there you go. There you go, fool. There's your answer you're looking for. And the Lord has used Brother Kendrick. I'm not saying he's a fool. The Lord has used Brother Kendrick to minister to me at times because he didn't know what was going on in my life and my situation, but he got up here and he bared his soul about his own situation and struggles and things that he was dealing with on his job. And I'm sitting here going, this guy's reading my mail. Thank God I'm not the only one going through this. So I would leave encouraged and I'd talk to him after church. Man, you don't know what that meant to me tonight. And God's, you're not alone. I want you to know. You spoke that. God, you're not alone. God, I'm in this. We're in this together. God's doing these things. And you haven't heard his testimony. I don't know if he shared it publicly or not or yet, but God's opened some doors for him and God's put him in a unique situation. And I said to him the other night, we were talking last Wednesday night, two Wednesday nights ago. I said to him, I said, all the things that you've shared and all the things that you've told me publicly and privately about your situation through the years, was God bringing you to a place where he could trust you with what he's now put in your possession? See, I don't like that process of him getting me to the point where he can trust me. It's really easy for me to say, I trust you, Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God. Now give it to me. I trust you. You're going to do this. I trust you. Okay. Thank you. I appreciate your trust. I receive that trust. Now prove to me that I can trust you. I talked a little bit about this at pause, but it's that space between when he shows us what it is that he wants to do in us. He shows us this is the end result. He gives us that word, and then that whole process of the timing in between everything when he begins to work on us and get things out of us and show us, really, this is really what you want? Okay, well then you got to go through this because I got to make sure that this, and this is out of you before I can go to here. Because if I let you jump from there to there and all this stuff in between stays in you, you're going to destroy yourself. You'll be no value to me in my kingdom. I'm not talking about your kingdom. I'm talking about mine. He checks our motive. What is this? Why'd this bother you so much? These are all the questions me and the Lord have with each other. Why'd this bother you so much? Why'd you spend a year in the Moldy Grubs about this? Why'd you get mad at me about this? You want me to trust you. You got upset. Yeah, I did. I guess I'm not as spiritually mature as I thought I was. And he takes us through these processes and he allows us to go through things. Because as our Father, we started it by saying this today. As our Father, he says, I want to give you good gifts. I want to entrust things to you. But I first got to get you to a place where you understand that when I entrust something, when I give something to you, that there's something required from that. What can God trust you with today? What can he trust you with? And what do you have today that he's trusting you with right now? What does he put in your possession right now that he's trusted you with? I going back to my childhood and upbringing in Pentecost, I just said to my sister on the phone on Thursday, I don't know why God has entrusted me with the things he's entrusted me with. I don't understand it. Nevertheless, he has. I'm humbled by that. He has. He's entrusted me with this responsibility of an elder. I didn't even know what this meant 20 years ago. He's entrusted this to me. But there's something required of me for it. I have responsibility. He's entrusted me with three beautiful children. I look at individuals who desire to have children and can't. He's entrusted me with three. Given them to me. All the things that I, when I look at my life, okay, you've entrusted this, you've given this to me. Now, what am I supposed to be doing with it? I appreciate individuals who recognize and realize that these are the gifts of God. If he afforded you the opportunity to go to school and get an education, he trusted that to you. Let's stand together. I want you to talk to the Lord for just a few minutes here before we leave. With that understanding, Father, you've entrusted things into my hands. What am I doing with them? What am I doing with them? What are you asking me? What is required of me? In the name of Jesus, I take inventory today, Father, of everything you've entrusted to me. My time, my resources, my talents, my abilities. Father, everything, nothing excluded, everything that you've entrusted to me to take care of. I understand and I acknowledge today that it all belongs to you. For every good, every perfect gift cometh from you, Father. We acknowledge that today. We stand upon that principle today, Father. And so whatever you've placed in my hand, I have a responsibility for it. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Hila la la masia toro robo kusitia naye. Hila la la bakia toro robo shekia taye. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Hanaro robo shekia tara rabaka taye. Italaramasitia tararabakia toro boshetiana.
In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
I'm filled with anointing.
I'm going to open up this altar for a few moments. If you want to come and talk to the Lord, you're welcome to. Please stay in a place of fellowship with Him. Let Him talk to you about your life situation, your scenarios.
Mercy and goodness.
Tomiev, will you grab your wife and come to the front, please? They're leaving on Wednesday to go back to Kiev. They've been in the States for about 3 months, deputizing, and they're going back to Kiev. They're going back into preaching points. They're going back into a building program. God has opened a door. Sister Irina was here a few months ago. She shared with us the miracle of God doing a swap, giving them that land. I saw a photograph somewhere. I don't know if it was maybe Raymond sent it to me, of their groundbreaking ceremony. God is opening doors. He's the source. And there's all kinds of needs, but He's the source. So I wonder, would you just come stand right here? I'm going to ask the elders to come. Brother Heiner, would you grab the oil and would you anoint them? And we're going to lay hands on them and pray for them. If you're not at the front, would you stretch your hands towards the front right now? And we're going to pray a covering over this couple as they head back to Kiev. And we're going to pray that God would open doors and He would provide every need. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. You are able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or think, Father. You're not limited, Father, by what we can think or what we can come up with on our own or in our humanity. I pray in the name of Jesus that you would provide every need. I pray in the name of Jesus that you would open doors. Open doors in their facility, Father. Open doors in the construction process. Open doors, Father, that men would try to shut but can't shut, Father. Because when you open doors, no man can shut them. We take authority over resistance. We take authority, Father, over every spirit that would war against them. Pray, loose your power, loose your authority in this country in the name of Jesus. We speak your peace upon their minds. We speak your peace upon their hearts. Their understanding today in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus.
Your spirit lives within me, so I will walk in your peace.
Sign of spiritual maturity is when you come to an understanding that things that come to you aren't for you. When I come across something and I realize it's the blessings of the Lord, and I'm thankful for that, I can acknowledge that, and I'm thankful that He's the provider, and thank you for this blessing. But the step that goes beyond that is realizing this blessing is just to come through me. I'm not the end user here. I'm not the end of what this blessing is, but I'm the conduit, as Elder Johnstone likes to talk about. It's something that's flowing through me. God is using me as a vessel to bless the kingdom. We can get in this mindset of, thanks, God. Just keep pouring it on. Keep pouring it on, God. This is awesome. Yes, I'm just going to thank you for your blessing. Hallelujah. I can give Him praise for this blessing. Just keep it on coming. We need to hear what the Spirit is saying to the church today. Jesus, open our eyes today. Your blessings aren't for an Instagram post, God. Your blessings are not so I can look good, Jesus. Hilamataya shokolabaha. Hikalalabataye. Ishandalabaso. Baptize us today, Jesus. Baptize us today, Jesus, with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You sing that again.
Your Spirit lives within.
Hallelujah.
So I will walk in your peace.
Your Spirit lives within me.
My victory.
Your Spirit.
This morning, come on, somebody, receive that comfort. Receive that comfort of the Father this morning.
Oh,
He holds me close, and I say hallelujah. Dismissed in Jesus' name.